Oh, yeah. Yes.
Good to see everybody this morning. Amen. I reckon this is on. Hope it is, anyway. But good to be in God's house. Enjoy the singing. Sunday school hour. Wonderful. Amen. I tell you, every song that's been sung, for God be the glory. Got your Bibles this morning? Let's look to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Book of Romans, chapter 13. Chapter 13, start reading about verse 11. And that knowing the time that now is, high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Yes.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 9, he said, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? It said, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Let us pray. Father, we're grateful, God, this morning for the reading of your word. I ask, God, that you would anoint the preacher, Lord. God, for we know that it not return void, but God, have your way. Touch hearts and lives, God, this morning. We praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. As we begin to look at the setting of the scripture there in verse 11, the writer here said, and that knowing the time. And that knowing the time, as you would begin to look through the scriptures, you would find many places in the New Testament where it talks about the time and the time being at hand. And knowing the time, and as you begin to look at the scripture here, knowing the time, you know, you can't help but to think about time and how time is set up. About the ancient days of how they had the hourglass and then they had the grandfather clocks and all the different things and mechanisms to tell time. And to keep track of time. But this is not what the writer is talking about. He's not talking about knowing the time. It's easy to tell time in our days. Years ago when I was a little boy, they used to have 1, 2, 3, and now they just have hash marks on our watches to tell the time. And you know, you can't help but to know the time. All of our cell phones anymore, you've got alarms you set on them. Our wristwatches that we wear that you can set the alarm for the time to make you aware of the time and to give you an alarm or a setting during the midnight hour, during the mid morning hour, during the noonday or whatever you want to set the alarm for. But you know, you begin to look at the setting of the scriptures here. The writer's talking about knowing the time. You know, church, this morning, if we never need to be alarmed at the time, it is now we need to be alarmed at the time. Not the setting of a wristwatch, not the setting of our cell phones, but knowing what time it is. The Bible talked about being time and knowing the time. The Bible talked about old Timothy. He said in the scriptures in reference to time, he talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he said, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Isn't that alarming in our day, in our time today? Is that setting the scene of our generation? It's that without natural affection, you can look at the White House steps and see those that's marching up to the White House and to Washington, D.C., and see that the unnatural is
on the move in our generation and our day. He said, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers, those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of what? Pleasures, more than lovers of God. Church, is that not our generation? Is that not our time? Is that not the day that we're living in? My, we see that as the writer began to set the scene. This was penned 1,000 years ago by men as they was moved on by the Holy Ghost. It's more up to date than anything that's going to come off the press tonight at midnight is the Word of God. Aren't you glad this morning that the preaching of God's Word and the Word of God, there's no substitute for the Word of God. There's nothing any more up to date than the Word of God. There'll never be anything that's any more settled than the Word of God. There may be many things that's at dispute in the State House or in the White House, but let me assure you one thing, there's not anything that's in dispute in the Word of God. For the writer said that it's forever settled in heaven. It said the flower's going to fade, its earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God will endure forever. Amen. I thank God for His precious Word, that knowing the time now is. How do we know what time it is? It's by the Word of God. From the very beginning, everything that exists today was spoke into existence. The Bible said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word's with God, the Word was God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Amen. When I read what the psalmist said, His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. As long as I stay in the Word of God and walk in the precepts that's in this book, I'm going to walk in the light of God's Word and not stumble and not fall. Oh, my. Oh, Paul, psalmist there, we read in the book of Proverbs, he talked about a time when men would be asleep, a time when preachers across America, across our land would be asleep. He said, when will thou wake? Oh, it said, how long will thou sleep? Oh, sluggard. Oh, my, as we look about today, we can't see but the church asleep. We see preachers that are asleep. But I thank God for the preachers that we have across America today that still preach the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That don't waver or bobble from the Word of God and from the truth as it is written and as it is penned. We also see there in Timothy, the Bible talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. What Paul told Timothy there, he said, I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Notice the charge that He gave unto Timothy. He said, preach. In just the previous chapter, He was talking about the time and the times that would come before that great and dreadful day, those perilous times. But notice what He told Timothy. He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season. It said, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long suffering and with doctrine. Oh my, what time is it? Or knowing the time, you can't but help but say, it's time that preachers begin to preach the Word of God. Can you imagine old John the Baptist as he came out of the wilderness? The Bible said that John was preaching in the wilderness, and he came out into the wilderness of Judea, and he began to preach. Notice what old John came preaching. He came preaching, repent, 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 and notice what old John called her. He said, who's warned you, O generation of vipers, of fire to come? It was because somebody had preached the word without fear or favor of mankind. What did John come doing? He came preaching. He was a preacher of repentance of his day. If we've ever needed repentance being preached, it's the day that we're living in today. We have too many confessions and very few conversions in our churches across our land today. You know what a confession is? It's nothing but a confession. It's nothing more but a confession. You know what a conversion is? 2 Corinthians 5:17. It summed it up best. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. It's a preached word of God. Notice what Paul had to say. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Oh, my, aren't you glad that it is the power of God unto salvation? Now, the Bible said that Paul one night preached under the midnight hour. Oh, my, how would you like to have been there? Don't raise your hand, break your arm, get it up. How many would love to have heard Paul preach to the midnight hour? Oh, my, 30 minutes about all we stand anymore. 45, we've done good. We've got to hurry up and get through this thing. The roast is going to burn. We worry more about the roast burning than we do the souls of men and women burning in hell throughout eternity. That's the reason old Paul preached it to the midnight hour. They said, the Bible said that they was about the third law, and there was one sitting in the window. Oh my, he done got bored and burned out at the word of God. That's our generation today. Many's got bored and burned out at the word of God. The next thing you know, he found himself in the worst shape that he could be in. The Bible said, oh, Eutychus, he fell asleep and fell out of the window, 3 stories to his death. But oh, my old Paul fell upon him. God raised him up. Isn't he luckier? He had been probably burning in hell today. But oh, my, what is the problem? He was more out than he was in. That's the church of our generation today. They more out than they are in. It's time that God's children, amen, preach the word and live the word that people would want to get in to the house of God and be born again. Oh, Paul preached it to the midnight hour. Oh, my. Could you imagine? Could you stand some of that tonight? The nearest thing I ever heard preached about closest to the midnight hours, old Brother Samuel Allen. Brother Larry White, you remember right here. I believe 5 minutes after 7, he told you at about the first stanza of page 6, I want to know more about my Lord. Brother Larry led him in the first verse right here to this church. I was just a young convert, and he preached there. Oh, Brother Sammy took him literally at his word when the congregation sang that verse. And you know what he did? He said, Brother Choir Director, I believe I'll say a few words and turn it back over. Oh, Brother Larry stood over here, I believe about an hour, didn't you, Brother Larry? Stood right over here and he preached. I best I remember he preached 5 reasons a man ought not die and go to hell. And he looked back over there, directly looked at Brother Larry and told him, said, Brother, I'll just take it from here, go ahead. And he preached till 9:45. Yeah, man, you don't hear much of that anymore. But there's many reasons that men and women ought not die and go to hell. The number one reason is that Jesus died for you on the cross at Calvary. God gave his son for you, and his son gave his life that you might not have to spend eternity in hell. There's many today, oh my, that are more out than they are in. Oh my, why? Because they've never truly been born again. That's all a confession's good for. It'll keep you more out than more in. But a conversion will get you in and change your life. And God will make you a new man. Preaching the word. Amen. Romans 10 and 13. It said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent from God? Oh my, all we need today is God called preachers. Oh my, you know, John the Baptist, he probably wouldn't be voted in no church in Bonifay today. The Bible said he come preaching. Oh, he come preaching like a wild man out of the wilderness. He was dressed in a leather, the Bible said, a leathern girdle. You reckon what how me throwed in the first church down there? And he called that deacon board, "You old generation of vipers, who's warned you of the wrath to come?" You know what would happen? Oh, it wouldn't take but just a second. It'd have the piano, a pianist at a piano there. It'd sing a song and get him out of there. Oh my, that's exactly what they would do for somebody like John the Baptist. But you know what the best part is, but Uncle Leroy, is the fact that he was called of God to preach. And what did he preach? He preached repentance. He preached the gun barrel straight. He didn't walk to the right or the left. He wasn't about soothing a congregation. He was about seeing those saved and born again. Oh my. You notice Paul and Silas, they were singing about the midnight hour. Oh, Paul's preaching, notice where it got him. It didn't get him a raise. It didn't get him a promotion. It got him down there in the jailhouse during the midnight hour. Oh, Paul, he'd done preached to that generation. He's down there. Him and old Silas, the next thing you know, they wake up and they're singing praises unto God. Oh, my. They stirred the jailhouse up. They about to have a riot. And the next thing you know, oh, my. The earth began. Oh, Paul told Silas it was time to pray. Oh, my. And the next thing you know, the old jailhouse began to shake. And it waked the warden of their day up. And he come down there. And you know what happened to him? He got saved. Amen. I said, preaching may not get the job done. Singing may not get the job done. But when men and women begin to pray and pray through to the glory falls, it'll shake the place. And God can do the work that's needed. Amen. Acts 4, the Bible said, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. Oh my, I'll tell you what time it is. It's time for people to pray. Oh my, pray like they've never prayed before. Luke 18:1, it said that he spake a parable unto this end, and men ought always pray and not faint. Amen. It's something about a prayer life. It's something about praying through and getting hold of God. It's something about praying through to the glory of God falls upon you. Oh my, when you pray through to the glory, nobody won't have to tell you that the glory's fail. You'll know that the glory's fail. Amen. You'll know the difference when God shows up. Amen. Oh, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they're saying, "I love good singing." Oh my. Oh, we find in the Old Testament, Saul, he loved it too. He'd call David down there to play his instruments and run the devil off. Oh my. It'll soothe the soul. Good music will. But it won't get the job done. That's the reason old Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation." Hey, something about the preaching that'll get the job done. It'll convict. It'll convert. Oh my. You know, many people today don't like old time preaching. I love old time preaching. Today, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, if we could just get back to the old brush arbor." Oh, said if we could just get back to them old times. I'll tell you what, church, we're living in the best times that we've ever seen. Amen. I'll tell you, we're living in the best times we've ever seen. I can remember as a little boy, oh my, you know, I can remember when they had the light switches, you had to pull up and down. Oh my, and then we got the light switch. Now we got touch things. We can turn, with a remote, brother, we can turn our ceiling fans off. Aren't we a lazy generation? Oh my, we can turn our ceiling fans on. We can turn them off right there from that big old lazy boy recliner. We can dim the lights. Oh my, what a time we're living in today. And everybody says, "Oh, if we could just get back down to the old brush arbor." Let me tell you something. You can't serve God today. You'll never be able to serve Him in a brush arbor meeting. It ain't a brush arbor that makes a difference. It's a God in you. It makes all the difference of your day. Amen. My, my. Preaching. Preaching makes all the difference. I said, good preaching makes all the difference. I'm talking about God-called preachers. John the Baptist was a God-called preacher. Oh my, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. But oh my, he had his say, didn't he? I said he had his say. You reckon Herod today, when God said, remember, he's still remembering everything that John the Baptist told him. While he's burning in hell today, he's remembering everything that John the Baptist told him. Oh my, he had his pleasure when he had his head cut off. But let me assure you one thing. His face he'll never forget throughout eternity. Every word that John the Baptist preached to him, it'll haunt him down to the ages of time as he burns in that horrible pit forever. But church, aren't you glad this morning it God pulled you out of a horrible pit? He had set your feet upon the rock, brother. He didn't put one foot, but he put both feet upon the rock. Saved you and changed you and made you new. Amen. My, my, my. Singing may not get her done. I said, preaching may not get her done. But I'll tell you what we'll do. When the saints of God begin to pray, when they get in the prayer closet and begin to pray, to the glory of God falls. My, you don't see many of the most sainted saints praying like they used to pray. They'd pray for 40 days. My, they'd fast and pray 40 days at a time. Had a neighbor, dear sainted lady up the road from me. She'd fast and pray 40 days at the time. My, God talked to her. She talked to God. My, hey, told me one time about she is out there picking butter beans. She lived a simple life. She didn't have Cadillacs. She didn't have the fine things of life. Sister Faith, she's out there in a butter bean patch, and the next thing you know, there came three Jehovah Witnesses down her way. They wheeled in there and thought they had a granny in a butter bean patch that needed their message. They got out and went up to her and told her they wanted to witness to her, and she got a hold of them and she began to tell them what thus saith the Lord had to say in the Word of God. She didn't need another book. No, sorry, that's what messes most church folks up today, is them other books they began to read when they ought to read and stay in the Word of God. Said it got out there and they began to try to witness to her, and she began to witness to him, to them. They seen they were going nowhere right quick, and they said, oh, said, can we pray? She said, oh, how can we pray? She got to them by the hand. They went to the prayer room just straight across the driveway from that dear old saint's butter bean patch. And about 3 hours later, she turned them two loose. That other one was sitting in the car fanning, brother, with everything that was within her. But oh my, they know that they had been to a prayer meeting. Oh my, know that they had touched God. My, my, my. Oh, Brother David said one time, he went home, said he got down to get him some gas, and he forgot his wallet. Said he turned back and he went home. Said when he got there, there was two Jehovah Witnesses in his driveway. He said, and then he knew why he forgot his wallet. God had a mission for him. He said he got to witness to one of them. Said one of them broke down and went to crying. He said, son, so let me tell you something. He said, the grace of God has appeared unto you today. He said, I brought to you nothing more than what Paul said. He preached to him the whole council, withheld nothing back. He said, I told him everything that was about the plan of salvation, and told him, said, young man, said, the grace of God hath appeared unto you today. He said, don't you turn it away. You accept him for who he is, the Lord and Savior of your life. He said, he don't know what the end result of that deal was, but the fact of the matter is, we've got a message, you and I. It ain't all up to the preachers. It's up to you as a witness to witness and be the witness that God called us to be. What time is it? It's time for us as witnesses to begin to witness to the lost and lead the lost to Jesus Christ and see that they're born into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Now when Paul and Silas and all those boys began to preach, there was a time of proving for them. They were proven. They were proven to preach. Oh my, they preached and were thrown in jail. You see what they was at. They wasn't only just thrown in the jail. They didn't have air conditioning. A lot of them got today. No, they didn't have that. They had stocks and bonds. Oh my, that wasn't no problem for God to shake them loose. No, it wasn't a bit. But the thing of it was, they was proving time for them boys to see where they stood. Oh, Daniel, in the Old Testament, we find there was a time of proving for him. Oh, when the writing come down, down. Oh, Daniel, the Bible said that Daniel went to his prayer closet as aforetime, and the Bible said that he prayed, what, 3 times a day. He didn't cut no corners. He didn't say, I'll leave the midday prayer out. He didn't say, I'll hide in the morning or I'll go somewhere else. The Bible said that he looked toward Jerusalem with a window open, and he prayed as aforetime. He didn't change not a thing. I'll tell you something. There may come a time of proving in your life, but let me assure you one thing. You hold on to God. Amen. You may walk into the lion's den. He may not keep you out of the lion's den, but I'll assure you one thing. He'll bring you through the lion's den of your time. He'll bring you out. Oh, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He didn't keep them out of the fiery furnace, but let me tell you one thing. Everything but the world that was about them burned off of them in the fiery furnace, and God delivered them. Why? Because they were men of prayer, and they were true to their God. Amen. They were men of prayer. Oh, they didn't wobble. No, sir. I listened to an old preacher the night. He was talking about Bob War Baptist. Down at the hog pens, what he was talking about. Old boy was preaching about the hog pen. He said, ain't nothing good coming out of a hog pen. He said, ain't never seen a man saved in a hog pen. He ain't never seen a man satisfied in a hog pen. When he got ready to come out, when God saved him. Oh, my. Hey, there's too many of our young people in our churches today that's down at the hog pen. Yes, sirree. Hey, taking everything that mom and daddy's taught them in life, taking everything that mom and daddy's given them in life, and they're squandering with the things of this world. Oh, my. You don't believe it? Go to large churches and look at the youth. Hey, dress in your way. Oh, my. They got rings in their eyebrows. They got rings in their ears. Hey, dress in your way and come to the house of God. Let me tell you something. When God chases, he changes a man. Amen. But it ain't hard to figure out them that's living down there at the hog pen. Hey, something about a hog pen. It has an older brother. Amen. Everybody that's in the hog pen smells like a hog. Everybody that goes down to feed one or get near a hog pen comes back smelling like a hog. You handle a hog or butcher a hog, yes sirree, you're going to smell like a hog. You can't wash it off. Uncle Leroy, I butchered them. I fed them. We used to go down in the morning time and we'd have to slop or feed the hog, whatever you call it, feed the hog before we went to school. And it didn't take but just a little splatter, Brother Scotty, of that mud to get on you. You smelled it all day long. Oh my, you couldn't wash it off. How many's ever had a hog pen? I've had one. When I had hogs, everybody had hogs because they couldn't stay in the pen. Oh my, you begin to wonder about these folks that you can't keep in the house of God. I'll tell you the reason you can't keep them in the house of God is because they're in the hog pen and don't want to live for God. I mean, that ain't popular preaching, but I know it'll preach. I said it ain't popular preaching, but it'll preach. A lot of folks want to stay in the hog pen. Oh my. That young man that day down that hog pen in the Bible, I know I ain't changing the subject, but there come a time, no doubt, he always looked back at what he had back in her daddy's house. Mm-hmm. No doubt he probably called out a many times. How many's ever climbed in a hog pen? You had to be careful when you climbed over. You didn't want to fall in, did you? No. And despite everything you could do, brother, that other foot get hung up, wouldn't it? It'd get hung up or wobble because the old fence would wobble and shake, Scott. Oh, my. And the next thing you know, you'd have it on you. My. Can't get too close to the hog pen. No, sir. Can't climb on that fence. Oh, my. I never forget. You remember Abraham and Lot? The Bible said that he pitched his tent to where the royal watered plains of Sodom. Oh, my. Many young people today are pulling out of our churches, are going to churches that's got their tents pitched to the well-watered plains. Oh, my. You know what we need? It's old-fashioned preaching. Oh, my. I'm talking about preaching. You know what Jesus warned more than anything? He warned them of hell. He warned them of hell. You know what Jesus preached? He preached, you must be born again. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. You know what? He never compromised it on down in the chapter. You know what he said again the second time? He didn't compromise it in the least. Didn't change nothing of it. He said, you must be born again. You know, on that third time in that same chapter, Brother Raymond, he didn't change a thing. You know what he still said to the man was? You must
be born again. Oh my, not a confession, not a little bit of do better, but a real conversion. Like 2 Corinthians said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Oh my, it'll get the job done. Old-fashioned preaching will. Old-fashioned praying will get the job done. My. I thank God I had a praying mother. Yes, sir. I'll never forget one night, my mother come into my room. She had a bottle of oil, brother, and she anointed my head with oil. I couldn't move, couldn't speak, couldn't move for the life that was within me. I thought my mama had gone off the deep end. But I knowed something had me held to that bed that I couldn't speak, grunt, or roll, or move. She anointed my head with oil, and she prayed for me. My mama walked out of that room. I said, my mama's gone off the deep end. She's gone crazy about this stuff. I'd seen her in the church house one Wednesday night. She stood up and said, preacher, I want you to pray for my boy. I think something bad is going to happen to him. And I said, oh, my mother, she's losing it now. Oh, she's losing it now. But you know, on that Sunday evening, my brother was working down at a local convenience store, and some Mexicans came in there and robbed him, carried him iron, and tied him up and shoot him in the woods. And an old colored man pulled in there and spooked him off. Oh, my. Tell me that praying mothers don't get the job done. My mother, I said, oh, my mama's going off the deep end, Uncle Leroy. Next day, I was driving that old gas truck. How many ever drove a gas truck? I know your family has, but this wasn't a propane truck. It was a gasoline truck, and it was loaded with gasoline. I went around a curve and met an old low boy trailer coming around the curve with them long, wide grater blades sticking out. It swept the mirrors off the front of that truck as it went down and creased the side of that tank as it went. I closed my eyes knowing that thing was going to blow up, but I'll tell you something. When I stopped that old truck and got off the side of the road, and I wasn't on fire, I knowed my mama wasn't as crazy as I thought she was a few nights before. No, sir. It was because of a praying mother. If there's ever a time that we need to pray for our young people, it's the day and hour that we're living in today. I'd have never dreamed that I'd grew up and been a preacher. But there's one thing that I knew when I was lost. I had a praying mother that loved God and prayed for her children in the wee hours of the night. Almighty, it don't hurt us to pray. We'll never pray too much. That's the reason in Luke 18:1, he said he spake a parable unto this end. He said, pray. He said, he spake a parable unto this man that men ought always pray and not faint. Thank God for those that don't faint and those that don't give up in the day and hour that we're living in today. What time is it? It's time for the Lord to come. It's time for the Lord to come. Amen. He gave us seasons. Seasons. My. You never notice something about those seasons? Winter, spring, summer, fall. Seasons. Everything's running on time. Everything's on time. I said everything's on time. Everything has a reason and a purpose. You reckon how come peas don't grow in the winter? You reckon how come pears don't make in the winter and in the fall? Oh my. You reckon? Heard an old fellow tell me one time that God's got everything growing off in a season for a reason. My. And you needed to eat those things that grew off in the season because that was the reason. Anybody that said that, say this here. Everything is on time. I said everything is on time. And you notice what the Bible said? He said when you see these things begin to happen, talking about things that's going on. He said when you see the armies encamped about Jerusalem, he said look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. He said those things that I read about over in Timothy chapter 3 in reference to those perilous times. When those things begin to happen, those are perilous times. In the what? Last days he's talking about. You know that it's the last days. And hey, everything that I read to you a while ago, it's about today. Those things have come to pass. Not one scripture has to be fulfilled before that trumpet could sound. Not one scripture has to be fulfilled for that trumpet to sound. He said, just as sure as you see these things happening. He noticed what he said about that fig tree. He said, just as sure as you see a fig tree in it, buds, and you know that summer's nigh. He said, you know these things are fixing to come to pass. Amen. And you know what time it is. It's time for the rapture of the church. The church be called up out of here. Amen. And for will forever be with the Lord. Amen. Those that have truly been born again. Not just old confessions of do better. No, that won't get her done. Those that's been converted. Those that's truly been born again. That's the reason Jesus said it three times. That's the reason he never changed it. All my, you remember when Moses threw the tablets down and they broke and went back? You know something about God? He didn't change a thing. When it penned it again, you know what it said? Same thing it did the first time. Aren't you glad? Folks today are hunting a new version of every kind. They want something easier and simpler. We don't need a new version. We don't need another denomination. I tell you what we need. Heed what thus saith the Lord said. And do what God said do. Amen. Preach the word. Pray. Amen. The Bible said study to show thyself approved. Amen. A workman rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Oh my. That's what we need to do. Is heed the word of God. That's what time it is. It's time for us to be that God has called us to be. Amen. Singing may not get it done. Preaching may not get it done. But I'll tell you one thing it will. Old fashioned praying. It'll get her done.
Yes, sir.
Oh my. We pray till the power falls. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, God's good, isn't he? I said God's good. I'll never forget, but I ain't been sick up there at night in the hospital. One of the preachers come in. Probably one or two maybe of the first, probably all night prayer meetings we had. And we prayed all night long, I believe it was, or near all night long. That doctor came back in with Brother Ike there, and they had to go back in the second time. And Hannah looked at the medical records, and I'm not going to fudge nothing in the medical records, but said there's no way humanly possible that anybody could live with the things that was going on, the heart rate and the pressure and all that stuff. But you know what was going on down in the prayer meeting, down in the little prayer room? A bunch of saints of God were down there praying. Prayed all night long. You know what God did? He heard and he answered. God heard and he answered. The old doctor came back in. I went down there and I looked at the old doctor. It was amazing. He looked like death warmed over. He looked very haggard. He'd been up all day. He'd been up all night. All my. God had his hand in it all the way.
Yes, he did.
The saints of God prayed. God heard. And God brought him home. Amen.
Yes.
It's all about praying. Amen. It'll get the job done. Bible said old Peter was in jail. And you remember when the saints did? They prayed all night long. And those that was praying all night, they were good Baptists. One went to the door and couldn't believe that God had answered. Amen. Couldn't believe that God had heard and answered. My. But you know, it prays, pays to pray. It will get the job done. Everyone reverently stand this morning, pianist, come and play that is appropriate. Give an opportunity to pray. John preached repentance.